It's good to be saved tonight, isn't it? Good to be in the house of God. We want to say we appreciate you having us here to Bethel here in Granite City, Illinois. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do. How many believes God's going to move for us this week? I believe He's here. I feel Him already in this service. And you know what? We'll get out of it what we put into it here tonight. You know what? He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I like what Sister Ruth said. Invite everybody you can. Invite everybody you can to revival. How many believes there are people out in this world craving to feel what you and I have here tonight? I believe there's people that can't find it in the bottle. They can't find it in a bottle of pills or a syringe. But just one trip to the altar this week. Come on now, it changed everything in their life, wasn't it? Just one trip to the altar, being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it changed their life forever. So let's pray. God will save somebody, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, this preacher could use some reviving this week. And I've been working there in Ohio now. Brother Dave said we moved north of the Kentucky River, Ohio River. I'm there in that church as a youth pastor now, still doing some evangelism. But I chose to live on the Kentucky side. I didn't let them convert me all the way to a Buckeye. So I'm living on the Kentucky side, but I'm working in Ohio now. But I'm thankful for that opportunity, grateful for what God's done for us. We're going to sing for you here tonight. This song says, "After all I've been through, here I stand." You know what? If you're here tonight, friend, you got a lot to be thankful for. God's kept us through a lot of trials, hasn't He? Kept us through a lot of tribulation, a lot of battles we fought. The devil probably thought all of us wouldn't be standing right now. But by the grace of God, we're still going on for Jesus. That's what matters. God pray for us tonight.
Well, He watched as they took Him home to be crucified. Well, He seen them try the nails, and then they pierced His side. Then they placed Him in a borrowed tomb. After 3 days He replied, "After all I've been through, here I stand, oh here I stand, and after all."
valley like I've never seen before. But I keep right on believing that God's gonna open the door. Because after all I've been through, yeah, you know I still believe. After all I've been through, here I stand. Oh, here I stand. And after all I've been through, here I stand.
Worship the Lord in this house. You know what the Bible said? Not by might nor power, but it's by His Spirit. You know what, friend? He can pull you through, one man said, if you can handle the pull. Sometimes it don't seem like we'll ever emerge from the battle, but you know what? If we'll keep holding on to His unchanging hand, He knows how to lead us through, doesn't He? Ain't God good tonight? I appreciate His presence. Appreciate His Spirit. I want to thank you here tonight for having us here at this church. We're looking forward to this revival. Been praying about it and just had a high expectation for what God's going to do. And I don't know everybody here. I know Brother and Sister Brim, and I know the Blues here. I heard Brother Mike Blue preach about my whole life on tape. Heard him in a few camp meetings and what have you. And I know Brandon and his wife tonight, but I don't know the rest of you. And we're looking forward to getting to know you. Looking forward to a good time of fellowship this week. And I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of times in revival, if I'm not careful, I'm trying to get to know everybody and fill everybody out. And, you know, before revival's about to come to a close. And you just now got to where you know people. But you know what? I like just take the brakes off of it, wouldn't you? And just go ahead and let the Lord be the Lord here tonight and let Him move and let Him help us. I don't know about you, I came here to see the Holy Ghost move in our midst. And I believe we can see it. I believe it's obtainable if we want it here tonight. So thank you, Brother Brim. I want to say that. I appreciate this opportunity. We're very grateful to you and Sister Ruth. And I thank the world of Sister Ruth's parents. Me and Erica got to know them, and they're just some of the most precious people in the world. And Brother and Sister Gallagher was here years ago, wasn't they? How many years was they here? He had a big hand right here in this church and what you have right here today. And I appreciate that man of God's loyalty and what he stood for through the years. And you know, I take a glance at Sister Ruth time to time, and it looks like Brother Clifton with long hair. She kind of favors her daddy. She looks a lot like her daddy. That's not a bad thing, and she acts a lot like him. And I appreciate that. But how many knows there's one Clifton Gallagher? If you know Clifton Gallagher, there's one of him. But there's a female version sitting on the second pew here tonight. We appreciate her. I mean that. I appreciate this couple, what they've done for God. They've been here 7 years now, he said. And no doubt you all are very thankful to have them here. I mean that. And thank you all for having us. Thank you for the groceries that was down there. We can't say enough how much we appreciate that. My wife had a pretty little basket wrapped up with a bow down there. on it, and she was just swept away by that. She was thankful for that. So thank you all for the kindness so far. And let's just get in here and let the Lord help us here tonight. I believe He will. And I believe if you got a need tonight, friend, it can be met here in the house of God. You know, my mother grew up here a few years of her childhood right here in this town. I've been different parts of Illinois, never been to Granite City, but she's gave me her old address where she was raised a little few years, and I'm going to go out there and find that place this week. If it's still standing, if it's not a pile of rubble now, I'm going to take pictures of it for her. So she's glad we're out here. She's telling me places to go to while I'm out here, so we're glad to be in Granite City with you this week. If you got your Bible, go with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 24, Luke chapter 24. Got a good crowd here tonight. I hope you'll get behind this preacher and help him. Luke 24, verse number 13. Very familiar story tonight. We'll be reading from verse number 13 of Luke 24. When you're there tonight, say amen. The Bible said, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Go with me to verse 25 tonight for the sake of time. Jesus said, Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. If you would tonight, I ask you to raise your hands here tonight. Pray that the Holy Ghost would anoint us and help us to preach His Word with power and might here tonight. Help us to preach this gospel. Lord, would you pass by? Would you help us, God, anoint these lips of clay, Lord, to bring forth your message with power and anointing, God. Anoint us with fresh oil tonight, Lord. Touch ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord. Come by and pick somebody up, God. Come by and set somebody's feet on higher ground tonight, Lord. Would you move and minister and stir our hearts? Oh, give us a fresh touch right now in this service tonight, God. Most of all, we pray that you move in this altar call, Lord. Tear down every stronghold, Lord. Rebuke every spirit, God, that would hinder us in these altars. Give us a breakthrough here tonight, God. Let us start this revival off on a high note, Lord. Come in here, move and minister in a mighty way. Let the remainder of this service, Lord, be accompanied by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. In you we live and move and have our being, Lord. Touch us. We are grateful, Lord, for you here tonight. Come by in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I can tonight. I want to preach to you on an interruption on the road to Emmaus, if the Lord will help us here tonight. An interruption on the road to Emmaus. You know, friend, as we read this passage of Scripture here, we know that we find these two men here. The Bible lists these men, one being named Cleopas, and the other one, it doesn't give us a name. But we know from the road they're traveling, we know the direction that they're going. These men are in a state of despondency. These men are at a low time of their life, friend. They've sung higher before. They've shouted higher. They've ran faster before, if you will. But these men are at a low time. They're at their wits' end. They're at the end of the rope,
trying to figure out where their next glimmer of hope is going to come from. But you know what, friend? The chapter prior kind of told these men that help was on the way. The verses prior to what we read tonight kind of informed them that the Lord hadn't forsaken them yet and that He was going to show up just when they needed Him most. The Bible said that those ladies that went down to Jesus' tomb, we know they went down to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They got down there to that borrowed tomb, Brother Mike Blue, on the third day when Jesus said He would rise again and live and conquer death, hell, and the grave. When they got down there to that tomb there, Brother Brim, the Bible said that those angelic men sat there. One of them sat upon the stone there, and he said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You're searching for Jesus here, but He is not dead, but He is risen on the third day, just like He said He would." You know what, friend? They was looking for something that the Lord had done told them wasn't going to be there, Brother Blue. The Lord had delivered on His promise. He had carried through on His word to these disciples. Come on now. Right now you see me hanging on an old cruel tree. And right now you see them carrying me down to a borrowed tomb. But in 3 days I'm going to live again. In 3 days I'm going to go down into the depths of the regions of death. I'm going to go down to the portals of hell. And I'm going to look old Satan in the eye. And I'm going to say, "You got something that belongs to me. And you want to know what it is? It's the keys to death and hell and the grave." Come on now. Listen now, friend. He rose again just like He said He would. And if these disciples, listen to me. If these disciples would have took hope in it and would have took courage in it, they could have waited through those long 3 days and realized, hey, it might be dark right now. It might be gloomy right now. Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come again in the morning. Come on now. Daylight's going to shine at the end of the dark tunnel. If they had just held on to the words of Christ, they would have not found themselves on this long, lonesome road to Emmaus. But you know what the Bible said? When those women came back in joy and glee, and they came down to them 11 disciples gathered, they said, "The Lord has risen. We went to anoint Him with spices. He's not there." You know what the Bible said? The words of these women fell on these men's ears as idle tales. Come on now. The devil had stowed their hope. The devil had stowed their tomorrow. Come on now. He had robbed them of their hope that everything was going to be all right. You know what they did? They found themselves saying, "What's here for us in Jerusalem? Nothing's here in this place. The Lord ain't going to show up. He's not going to pass by and meet our needs." And the Bible said, these two men took that lonesome road down to Emmaus. You know what happened? Idle tales filled their ears. Troubled thoughts filled their minds. Their hearts are heavy. Come on now. All they can see is the fact that Christ has been crucified and taken from them. You know what? They said the hope that He was the Messiah had been taken away. You know what they're still seeing? They still see the fresh visions in their mind of Jesus being spit upon and being scourged and mocked as He hung on that cross. They still hear the echoes of the hammers ringing in their ears. And they hear Christ crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's what's got them in this state. That's what's got them in this horrible condition. That's why they're leaving Jerusalem. And they're on their way to Emmaus, friend. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't God's will that they go down to Emmaus. It wasn't God's will that they make the lonesome journey away from where the Christ was about to resurrect and appear once again. No, sir, it wasn't. They had to wait out the trial. Do you hear me? They had to wait out the trying time that they were in the midst of. I will preach to you if the Lord will help me here tonight, friend. The Bible said the trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus is about a 7 to 10 mile journey. There they are, friend. Excavation can't even locate exactly where Emmaus is today. But you know what? They estimate it's a 7 to 10 mile journey. Can you imagine these men talking to one another? "I thought He was the one. I thought He was the Savior. I thought He was the only begotten Son of God. I remember when He opened blinded eyes. I remember being there when He unstopped deaf ears. I remember when He stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, 'Lazarus, come forth.' Oh, we believed all that, but now all it is idle tales. Now all it is troubled thoughts. I will preach to you tonight, friend, if I can. These men are broke, busted, and disgusted, if you will. They've got their heads hung low. Their heart is overwhelmed. And all they can do is groan and moan about what's going on in their life. And they're walking this long, lonesome road to Emmaus. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The last thing these two individuals should have done was have accompanied one another on this road to Emmaus. And can I tell you tonight in this house, it's the first night of revival, and no doubt there's some people coming in this house tonight that needs their batteries recharged. No doubt there's some people in this house tonight that's been trudging through the deep dark valley in days gone by. And you know what the last thing we need to do is find somebody else in the same shape we're in. Come on now. The last thing you need to do, friend, when you're discouraged, when you're troubled, when you're dismayed, and you're on your way to Emmaus, the last thing to do is find somebody else in the same condition spiritually that you're in here tonight. Can I tell you, a recovering alcoholic doesn't go down to the local liquor store or down to the local pub and go in there and sit down and say, guys, are you tying on a good one tonight? How's everything going? No, that's not the place he needs to go. That's not where he's going to get help. Come on now. The man that is recovering from drug addiction does not need to go down to the local drug dealer's house and sit and watch the customers that come in and out on a daily basis. No, sir, that's not where he belongs. A gambling addict does not need to go to Caesar's Palace and sit down in a slot machine and say, are you winning any tonight, guys? Have you struck anything big? No, sir. But you know what, friend? The same as that. These troubled men on the road to Emmaus didn't need to accompany one another with their complaints and their grumbling and their moaning. Come on now. They weren't going to get help from each other. They're both half backslid. They're both on their way to Emmaus. They're both going in the wrong direction of where Christ wants them. And can I ask you here tonight, where have you been looking for help? Who have you been talking to bail you out of trouble? Who have you been going to and confiding in? You know what happens? A lot of people get upset at what's going on at the church, and they go find somebody else that's mad to talk about problems with them. A lot of people, come on now, a lot of people's frustrated with a decision somebody's made or what somebody said to them, and they go and find somebody else that's got a chip on their shoulder, and they begin to talk matters over. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen or not. You know what? The devil will accompany you, friend. Hey, listen now. Pitiful, pathetic beings like company. Come on now. People in that state, they like people to add wood on the fire, if you will. But can I tell you what you need to do? If you're on your way to Emmaus here tonight and everything's going haywire in your life, can I tell you what you need to do? You don't need to find somebody else that's half backslid, Brother Blue. You don't need to find somebody else that's in the same trial you're in and try to draw strength from them. You need to find you an old gray-haired prayer warrior in the house of God that's been through where you are and on their way back. Come on now. You need to find somebody that's done been down that road. Somebody that's been in that valley of despair. You need to find somebody that can get a prayer through for you in the house of God. Come on now. You need to find a preacher that'll say, get up. You can make it. There's still help for you. There's still a place of restoration for you. Come on now, friend. We need to find somebody that will lift us up, not lead us farther down to Emmaus, but somebody to lend us a helping hand and say, get up. You've come too far to turn back. You've come too far to lay down and give up. You can't wave the white flag yet. There's still help on the way. Hallelujah. Have me believe somebody can draw strength from the Most High here tonight. Somebody can look over at your neighbor, look over at somebody you know struggling and say, get up, turn around. You don't have to go down to Emmaus. God's still got a plan. God's still in control. God's still got revival planned for this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll preach to you here tonight, friend. There they are, talking, grumbling, complaining. You know what they needed? They needed an interruption on the road to Emmaus. They needed somebody to pass by and let them know everything's going to be all right. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder in this house here tonight, is there somebody that used to have a red hot testimony? Oh, I'm telling you, man, they was the key to the service. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, they was eager to get a chance to sing. They was eager to get up and contribute something to the service. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, your prayer life used to be consecrated and sold out to God. Nothing could shake you. Nothing can make you waver. But I wonder tonight, has a devil stole some of your victory here tonight? Has a devil robbed you of some joy here tonight? Has your zeal begin to vanish a little bit? I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that's making the long, lonesome journey down to Emmaus? Oh, listen, friend. Emmaus is a barren place. Emmaus is a place of despondency. It's a place where there is no hope, friend. Oh, listen to me now. A place of no pasture, if you will. There's nothing down there in Emmaus. There's nothing for the church down there in Emmaus. Come on now. Emmaus is the place you go when God's not really shaking you up like it used to. Emmaus is the place you go when you're upset at what's going on in the church, friend. I'm really not happy, so I'll make the trip down to Emmaus. Emmaus is the place you go when you're tired of praying for your lost loved ones. You're tired of believing God for a miracle. I believe I'll just go down to Emmaus. But you know what Jesus did, friend? Jesus was going to show up right on the road to Emmaus, and he was going to give them a surprise visitation, and he was going to say, hey, open up your eyes. I'm still moving in your life. I'm not done with you. Come on now. You know what, friend? They needed an interruption, and they was going to get more than what they bargained for. The Bible said their eyes were holding when he first showed up and appeared. But he came up, and I can imagine, Brother Blue, he put his arm right around them and said, why are you troubled? Why are you perplexed? Why is tears filling your eyes? Why do I hear these murmurings amongst you? Oh, are you not a stranger in this town? Don't you know the things that just took place concerning Jesus Christ of Nazareth? You know what I see here? I see a key indicator that these men are on their way away from the presence of the Lord. You know what it is? They look at the very Christ, the very Savior of the world, and they say, are you not but a stranger? Come on now, friend. Can I tell you tonight? The Savior had become a stranger to these individuals. The Savior, his appearance was not as sweet to them as it once was. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder in this day and hour, friend, have some of us found ourselves on the road to Emmaus? And you know what? The Savior just ain't as sweet to us as he used to be. Come on now. The familiarity ain't there like it once was. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. When's the last time you felt the Spirit of God hit you in the crown of the head and flow all the way to the soles of your feet? When's the last time they were singing in the song service and something spontaneous got a hold of you and you just lost control and you had a Holy Ghost fit in the house of God? When's the last time that happened, friend? When's the last time we forgot about McDonald's closing? We forgot about Burger King closing and we got in the order and we tarried until the power of God came down and shook us up in the house? Oh yes, friend, that's when we were familiar with the Savior. But after the course of time and the daily grind and wind of this life, friend, just as these men on the road to Emmaus, sometimes if we're not careful, the Savior will become a stranger. Come on now. The Savior will become a stranger. We're not as comfortable as when he moves as we used to be. We're not longing for that touch of God like we did at one time in our experience. Listen, friend, if we're farther away from the place of hope and restoration 5 years after being saved, friend, than we were when we first got saved, there's something bad wrong in our heart. Do you hear me? If 5 years ago you was more familiar with the Savior, but tonight he has become a stranger. Listen now, don't go on down there and tarry in Emmaus. Don't go on down there and dwell in Emmaus tonight. Can I tell you what he wants to do? He wants to get reacquainted with you tonight right here in this house. He wants to pass by and let you feel that old time feeling down in your soul. Listen now, you can go out in this world going and buying a new toy ain't going to get the job done. Getting a new promotion at the the job. Ain't going to get the job done. Listen, patting your bank account a little more ain't going to get the job done. But I tell you what, when he shows up in the house, I'm telling you, friend, he can renew somebody here tonight. He can restore somebody here tonight. He can pass by and let that old time feeling that you had the night you prayed through, he can let it fill your soul once again here tonight. He don't have to be a stranger. He's still the Savior. He's not changed. He's not wavered. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody reach up and get a hold of him here tonight. Somebody say, Lord, I need an interruption on the road to Emmaus. Pick me up, turn me around, and send me back to Jerusalem, and let me bask, let me rejoice in your presence once again. Somebody say hallelujah here tonight. Glory to God. Come on now. Praise him in his house tonight. Praise him in his house tonight. Come on now. He's like to give you a U-turn on the road to Emmaus. He's like to interrupt the devil's plans. He's like to make the devil's plans backfire. He's like to let somebody get hope here tonight. Somebody come out swinging tonight. Somebody come out lifting your hands and rejoicing, saying, God's not dead. The Lord's not dead. He's still alive and well. Listen now. He's still high and lifted up. His train's still filling the temple. Listen, he wants to help you tonight if you only allow him to turn you around and interrupt your road to Emmaus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh yes. Come on now, friend. The Lord looked at them. The Bible said he began to expound to them the scriptures from Moses all the way throughout the Old Testament into the minor prophets. Listen now, friend. He began to tell them how he must come and suffer, how he must be crucified and go through agony and despair. But he let them know, hey, I told you I was going to rise again. I told you I was going to live again. Ain't no power in hell going to keep me down. Listen to me now, friend. I believe that familiarity began to creep back into their hearts. The Bible said their eyes were open, that they knew him once again. Hallelujah. I can imagine that day they looked over and nudged one another and said, it's him. It's him. I know that voice. I know that touch that I feel. I felt them goosebumps before. I felt the Shekinah glory in our midst before. It's him. He's not gone. He has came by and interrupted us right on the road to Emmaus. You know what happened, friend? The Bible said they constrained him that he'd stay with them. You know what I wish would happen this week? I wish somebody get so consumed in the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody get so caught up in feeling an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Brother Rim, hey, just tarry. Hey, just constrain him to stay a little while. Come on now. And just say, Lord, this is what I've been needing. This is what my marriage has been needing. This is what I've been needing. That's why I've been fighting some depression. I've been fighting some battles nobody knows about. All I really need, Lord, is you to come by and fellowship with me a little while. All I really need, Lord, is you to come down and speak with me intimately. Oh Lord, just sit down and talk with me. Sit down and heal my broken heart. Let me know, Lord, I don't have to dwell in Emmaus. There's still something waiting on me back there if I get up and get back to Jerusalem. Stay with me, friend. Stay with me. The Bible said as he stayed there into the evening with them, he got up and he slipped out of their midst. They looked over at one another and said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us along the way? Listen now, I think we all could identify with where these men are. I'm going to tell you, there's times the fire didn't blaze like it used to in this preacher's heart. There's times the flame was down to a faint flicker in my life, Brother Blue. There's times I was pressing. I was trying to give God my very best. But how many knows, friend, you got to go through the valleys before you appreciate the mountaintops. You got to go through them times where the fire's not raging in your heart like it once was before you value the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, but you know what? I remember a song an old preacher used to sing. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. That old Cherokee Indian Leon Buzzard would sing that song. But you know what I remember? I remember just days before he died, we would packed him into the sanctuary there in Whitesburg, Kentucky. And we placed him in a wheelchair. One eye was ate away with sugar diabetes. One of his feet was gone from sugar diabetes. One of his kidneys had been taken out. I'm going to tell you something, Mo. He still got up and sat in that wheelchair. And he sung that song. The flame has flickered, but the fire is never going out. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I looked around at his circumstance. I said, how can a man in that shape, how can a man in that condition? Oh, no doubt the devil has tried to blind him from the light. No doubt the devil has tried to steal his hope, has tried to tell him, where's your God now? But he still said, the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Oh, hallelujah. Could somebody in this house tonight say, Lord, the fire might not have been blazing like it once was. It might be flickering. But I want you to come by and take out them ashes. I want you to put some wood on the fire here tonight. Hallelujah. Give me back my praise, Lord. Give me back my worship, Lord. Give me back my dedication to the house of God. Lord, let me burn for you like I did one time ago. Did not our heart burn within us? You know what I love about this story? These men are like so many others. Right at their lowest point of life, the Lord came by and interrupted the devil's plans. How many times has the devil tried to take you down to Emmaus? But you got in an old-fashioned meeting. You raised your hands and the Holy Ghost come by and breathed on you. And you left Emmaus. Come on now. How many times some of these people that's been saved years and years, the devil said you'll never make it through this trial. But the Lord showed up and said you might not be able to make it on your own. But I've got something to help you make it. Come on now. I got a fresh touch. I can pick you up, turn you around, and set your feet back on solid ground. Listen now. The lady with the issue of blood, if you will, she was on her way to Emmaus. Spent all she had, but grew worse. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She got an interruption on the road to Emmaus. Come on now. The lady with a spirit of infirmity bowed over for 18 long years. The Bible said she went to the synagogue that day on the Sabbath. And the Lord showed up and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Oh, hallelujah. She got an interruption on her road to Emmaus. Oh, praise God. David, you're down there in Ziklag. The Amalekites have invaded the village. They stole all. They've left you. Your own men of battle are threatening stoning you. Your wives and children are gone. What are you going to do, David? The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord God. Come on now. Shall I pursue? Shall I recover? Can I go and take back what the enemy has stolen from me? Pursue and recover all, David, without fail. He got an interruption on his road to Emmaus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you are no exception tonight. The Lord can pass by. What are you needing, friend? What have you been asking God to do? He's going to do it for you, friend. You don't have to get satisfied being down in Emmaus tonight. The Lord wants to bring you out, friend, and let you see his glory once again. To do it. You know, friend, I feel like telling you this. I don't know if anybody's facing something in this manner, but I know a family just here recently. Stay with me here. It's a little bit off the beaten path where we are here tonight. But I know a family here recently. An 18-year-old boy was diagnosed with cancer. In his arm, they found tumors. And his parents, not holiness people, but they are good, godly, moral people. They live to the best of their ability. They live the best they know how to live. But you know what I believe? I believe that mother, when she looked at me with those eyes of tears flowing down her cheeks, she said, pray for my boy. I still know the Lord can work a miracle. Come on now. Can I tell you, the Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota said he's got the aggressive cancer. Not only will it leave his arm, but it'll attack his organs. It'll attack anywhere it can find a place. It's the most aggressive form of cancer he could have. 18 years old. You know what they said? The best thing we can do is to go right now and amputate his arm from the shoulder down. Take it off. 18 years old, going to remove his entire left arm. Oh, now I want you to listen, old friend. That mama didn't give up. I'm going to tell you something. I looked in her eyes and I saw hopelessness. But she still said, Lord, I know you can pass by and you can touch my child. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Somebody got a prayer through. Somebody touched the throne. I want you to listen to me now. The story goes like this. They got that young boy down there on the operating table getting ready to remove his arm, and the doctor said, one more time before we take his arm off, I want you to do an x-ray and see if the cancer is still there. I want you to just make sure before we take this boy's arm off. I'm going to tell you what happened. They got him down there, they put the x-ray machine to him, and they got the survey in that arm, the place where they knew for certain every x-ray, every scan indicated tumors in this young man's arm. But because somebody said, I refuse to accept this diagnosis. I refuse to accept fate. Come on now. I'm telling you, friend, this lady, if you would have talked to her, she kind of like these men. She's down there in Emmaus. What am I going to do? Oh, where's God at now? But I'm telling you, friend, right when it seemed like hopelessness had overcame this lady, I'm telling you, she got a hold of God. Listen now. They looked at his arm and said, we don't understand it. There was multiple tumors. Where are they now? We don't know where they are, but somebody got a hold of God. That little boy came out of there. I'm going to tell you something. He came out of there. Listen, I seen his mommy a few days later, and she said, it's a miracle. The Lord is still in the miracle working business. I'm telling you, church, he still specializes in interrupting the devil's plans. He still specializes in giving us an interruption on that road to Emmaus. I'm telling you, friend, he knows how. When the doctor says, no way, he says, I'll make a way. Oh, hallelujah. When the world gives up hope, he's just getting started. Listen, when you can't find help and refuge in any other place, you hold on, friend. The Lord can still show up on your road to Emmaus and take away every trouble, every care, every worry. Don't give up on him here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands around this house tonight? Interruptions on the road to Emmaus. I'm coming to a close. I'm going to end this message here in just a second. You know what I see right here? The main end of this story in our reading. The Bible said these men arose. They said, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They arose and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen now, that's better felt than told. Do you hear me? I don't know about you, but there's been a few times I went from being down on the bottom, but I couldn't explain it. I left the house. Listen now, I came into the house of God kind of like them men. What am I going to do, Lord? Where are you? But I'm telling you, there's been times I left Emmaus right here at this altar, and I returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how to explain how it happened. I don't got no scientific reason. All I know is when the Lord passes by, just in the blink of an eye, just in the snap of a finger, he can let somebody that's been crying and mourning, he can let them leave rejoicing, he can let them leave praising. Come on now. He can let them leave with their shoulders squared and a gleam in their eye, ready to march on in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what these men did? They left idle tales and troubled thoughts, but they received great joy. Come on now. They went back to Jerusalem with great joy. Oh, I wonder if there's some troubled thoughts in here tonight. I wonder if the devil's got somebody believing his lies here tonight. Come on now. I wonder if the devil has told you God's not going to move. God ain't going to show up in your situation. Won't you tell the devil I'm leaving Emmaus behind here tonight? Come on now. I'm leaving Emmaus in the dust. I'm getting up and I'm going back to that place where God, come on now, can be found in my circumstance here tonight. Oh, he's here, friend. Can I tell you what? He wants to help you. Can I tell you what? He's got a blessing with your name on it here tonight. Come on now. Listen now. He didn't just come to help one person here tonight. He wants to help his whole church here tonight. Come on now. He's got something for everybody in this house tonight. Come on now. What you been searching for? What you been needing? How desperate are you? You got to get tired of being in Emmaus here tonight. You got to get tired of that road leading you farther and farther down from where the Lord is. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder here tonight, somebody troubled? Somebody sick and tired of being in your condition? Somebody fed up with the devil's games? Come on now. Somebody completely disgusted with how the enemy has robbed you week after week, month after month, year after year in the house of God? Come on now. Maybe you've been dwelling in Emmaus for quite some time. You need the Lord to show up and give you an interruption here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I'm coming to a close. I don't even have to tell you what happened when they got back to Jerusalem. When they got back to Jerusalem, it was worth the trip. Do you hear me? It was worth the trip. These men was glad for what they found in Jerusalem when they got there. Oh, yes. The Bible said they went and tarried in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. What would have happened if they had remained down in Emmaus? The Lord would have never been able to give them the promise that he told them was waiting on them. I wonder, friend, what are you missing out on here tonight? What is the Lord trying to do in your life here tonight? Come on now. How much more does he want to give you here tonight? We'll never get it down in Emmaus here tonight. He's trying to interrupt the devil's plans. He's trying to interrupt that road, that long, lonesome road we've been trodden for quite some time. Can we stand right here tonight? Can we stand? I wish I could preach. I wish I could preach better to you here tonight. But I know one thing, friend. I know one thing. Somebody needs their heart to burn within them once again. Somebody needs to turn around. Somebody needs to go back to where the Lord is here tonight and let him touch you like he once did. Come on now. Wouldn't you like to be refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Wouldn't you like to feel the Lord touch you tonight? However you are needing him to move, friend, he wants to do it here tonight. I'm done preaching. Can we get ready to come to this altar here tonight? Let the Lord move for us. Won't we raise our hands around here and say, Holy Ghost, show up. Take over. Move and minister. Oh, Lord, yes, make a way where there seemeth no way here tonight. Wouldn't there be somebody say, hey, I'm coming to that altar, Brother Howard. I'm leaving Emmaus behind. Come on now. I'm getting an interruption tonight on that road to Emmaus. Are you tired of fighting it? Are you tired of the struggle? Come on now. Are you tired of that lonely feeling? Yes. Let the Lord show up. Here they come around here tonight. Won't you find your place and seek God here tonight? Oh, yes. Let him move. Let him minister. Let him speak to you here tonight. Let's get in there and pray. Let's get in there and bombard heaven. Let's pray, friend, that we get an answer. Pray that you get a breakthrough here tonight. Seek the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, pray, pray, pray. Lord, yes. Interrupt my plan. Interrupt me on the road to Emmaus here tonight, Lord. Take me out of that place. Come on.
By the grace of God, I'm going away.
Seek it.